Our scripture today comes from the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians, Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. I'm going to be reading 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. It was on the overhead. If you'd rather follow along in your pew Bible, in your pew Bible, it's on page 807. So once again, that is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 9, as Paul writes to the church. Hear the word of God. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants, through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his word. Now, have you ever gone into a store, a restaurant, someplace of business, and ran into a problem? Maybe you needed information on a piece of merchandise. Perhaps your food wasn't prepared to your liking. Maybe you wanted to know why the price on a certain item had gone up, or why it wasn't the same as the price advertised in the newspaper. Well, you finally got hold of someone, a clerk, a waiter or waitress, an employee of the business. You explained your dilemma to them and looked anxiously to them to help you out in your time of crisis. But then you got a sinking feeling in the pit of your stomach when the employee looked at you with a vacant stare and responded, "Don't ask me, I just work here." Now, my first appointment as a United Methodist minister in the Florida Conference was at a two-church charge in what was then the Tallahassee District. The churches were East Point United Methodist Church and St. George Island United Methodist Church, which is pictured here. Now, while we were there, the St. George Island Church built a fellowship hall. We were very fortunate that some building projects were happening on the island, and we had a young contractor in our congregation who was instrumental in getting the fellowship hall built. Now, his first name was Morris, and he was a businessman and a contractor working with a large development that was being built. Now, Morris and I would occasionally meet and discuss business, church business and secular business. Now, Morris was a young man, but he was a student of business. And he often spoke of how business had changed over the years and how it was continuing to change. Now, of course, a lot of studies had been done and books and articles written documenting the successful turnarounds of businesses on the verge of collapse. Morris pointed out that one factor that kept coming up again and again in those studies was how those companies on the rise found a way to include all the employees as direct participants in the life of the business. While there were various ways of doing this, the idea of individual participation and ownership provides the motivation to succeed. When an employee feels a sense of ownership in an enterprise, that employee's attitude is much less likely to be, "Don't ask me, I just work here," or "That's not my problem, I just work here." The same can be said of the church. Needs arise in the church. Things need to be done. Action needs to be taken. But too often we find church members who stand by and say, in action, if not in word, "I just go to church here." The cohesiveness, the sense of purpose is missing. It's not a new phenomenon. It was a problem that Paul ran into in the first century church in Corinth. This was a church that was divided into factions. For those of you who were here, you may remember that I preached about this a few weeks ago. Some of the people said that they belonged to Paul because he had led them into the Christian faith. Others said that they belonged to Apollos, a great orator who followed Paul at the church in Corinth. Still others said that they belonged to Cephas or Peter. The point is that the church in Corinth was focusing on areas of divisiveness, areas of division, rather than on areas of cohesiveness, areas of union, and that was stifling their growth. Paul, in today's passage, uses a great garden analogy to drive this point home to the Corinthian church. He said, "I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow." Too often, churches focus on a leader or small group of doers to do the decision making, to do the work, to take care of things. And if things get a little bumpy along the way, they can always say, "I just go to church here. What I think doesn't really matter." Factions arise, the focus is lost, and the work of God goes undone. Division and inactivity stunt growth. Now, what we're dealing with here is the issue of growth. Many businesses have come to see that the way to stay alive, the way to grow, is to increase and sustain involvement. We can study growth not only in the field of business, but in science as well. Any living thing, whether it is an animal, a plant, a human being, becomes larger as it ages. This is growth. A time comes when a thing basically stops growing physically, but it continues to become older, and then it is said to have maturity. But when a thing ceases to grow, it is the beginning of the process of dying. Growth is one of the great wonders and one of the great mysteries of life. Scientists know a lot about how things grow, but as you heard in the children's set, they know a little about why things grow. Scientists know that growth originates in the cells. Each type of living thing is made up of cells of its own kind. Most cells have the ability to absorb food and turn it into more cells. This is growth. As long as a living thing is growing, it is always making more cells than there were before. The growth is the evidence of life. We see it, but we can't explain it. There are so many mysteries to growth that we can't explain. We don't know why a whole new tree can grow from a cutting. We don't know why a crab can grow a new claw to replace a lost one. But we can't grow a new arm. We don't know why plant cells manufacture their own food using the power of sunlight. Mysteries of the life are in the cell, and we are yet to solve many of those mysteries. We can only affirm God's statement, or Paul's statement, "God made it grow." Paul made that statement after observing that the Corinthian Christians were in a no-growth pattern. Arrested development may be what a pediatrician today would say. Paul called them mere infants in Christ, stuck in infancy, to be fed only with milk, not yet ready for solid food. And Paul chastises them for not being able to pass beyond this stage. Our bodies grow for only about 20 years, and that growth is a marvel and a mystery. Our spirits, our minds, can grow much longer than that, right up to the point that we depart this life. What a pity it is if we allow our spiritual life to be stunted because we refuse to grow out of mental and spiritual pablum and move on to solid food in the areas of prayer, Bible study, fellowship, and church participation. We need to find that cell that we can be a part of and grow in our church. What a pity it is if we stunt the growth of the church by refusing to be active, by neglecting to be active in the community of faith of which we are a part, by simply saying, I just go to church here. My wife Elaine and I have talked extensively about the need for more small group ministries here at East Naples United Methodist Church. Places where people can get together to serve God, to grow in faith, and to develop relationships. That was a major reason behind changing our Sunday morning worship times so that a Sunday school time could be established between the services. And we have seen great growth in our adult Sunday school. We are trying to reestablish a men's ministry here at East Naples United Methodist, one of service and fellowship. If you've ever been involved in a good small group or small Bible study group, you know what a blessing this can be on your life and on the lives of others. As we gather on Sunday mornings, we are the body of Christ, large and mighty, united in worship. But then we leave this place and the chaos of life resumes. Small groups provide a place for the individual cells of the body to grow, to multiply, and to develop. Small groups are where the true church connection begins. We live in a culture more isolated than ever. True relationship building and human interaction has become an inconvenience in our busy life. God, however, created us to be in relationship with others. We are made to long for human interaction, acceptance, encouragement, and love. We pray that through a small group or through church activities of service and fellowship, that you can find a way of participating in the church on a regular basis. This is how we become connected, how we gently invite others into this marvelous grace that we have come to know. Maybe you have some ideas on groups and activities that the church might try. Contact me if you do. We are praying that God will raise up leaders for small groups and fellowship activities. We need people who will help grow small families of caring and community from within our church. We'll give you all the help we can. All it takes is a willing spirit, commitment, and prayer. Find a place to plug in and to get involved. Biologically, the mysteries of life and growth are held within the tiny element called a cell. Spiritual life is held within tiny cells of Christians, from ancient Corinth to present-day East Naples United Methodist. Find a cell or several cells where you can grow. There was once a minister who was nearing retirement. One day he reflected with one of his colleagues about the congregations he had served over the years. You know, he said, every congregation I've served can be divided into trees and posts. I call them trees and posts because when you plant a tree in the ground, it begins to grow. When you stick a post in the ground, it begins to rot. I've had a delightful time watching trees grow. But it's a sad business watching posts decay. We want to be sure our congregation has trees instead of posts. Trees in the form of teachers, workers, those who support the church with their time, their talent, and their tithes. We can plant and water, and God will give the growth.